Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and the show is Earnestly Speaking. I'm talking to Joe Tronolone. He's a volunteer with the Bernie Sanders campaign. And these units that have been popping up around the country have been pretty spontaneous, as Joe was telling me. And but spontaneous, how does spontaneous happen? You call a few friends?
The way we got started is, back in May when he announced, there was some organization called People for Bernie. They were made up of a lot of, progressive activists from, Occupy, from Amnesty, from a lot of these progressive groups around the country. They wanted to start organizing some volunteers. I took a few conference calls with them. They said, look for a social media group in your area. If you don't see one, start one up. So with that going, I started one up on Facebook. We're now up to over 400, almost 500 members. We put a couple events, a couple organizational meetups on there. We've had, we had quite a good turnout, and that's what started. It started with five people.
Tell me about social network. That's what you're doing. Now,
I mean, I don't
do
think I
need. Do you have an expertise in that? Or you developed it?
Yeah, just just from using it personally, using Facebook, using Twitter, Instagram, things like that, on a personal level, when it was time to start a page, for this organization, it was very easy. And and we say this a lot of times when we're meeting, we're discussing, that a lot of this wouldn't be possible without social media. So one thing we do have, it's a Slack group. And that was embraced by the campaign.
What do you mean a Slack group?
So Slack, it's a free chat app that you can use on your computer, on your smartphone, on your tablet. It's basically a free chat room.
It's not for Slackers.
No, yeah, anything but. And what we usually do on that, our group, we have usually Thursday nights at 7, we'll have an online organizational meeting where we'll all brainstorm a couple of ideas for events we want to do, local street fairs, things like that. We want a flyer, a canvassing events. So if anyone wants to join that, they can send an email to burningup, BERN2016@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook at Long Island for Bernie Sanders. Getting back to your point on it being spontaneous, our first meeting we had at a Panera Bread, there was about five of us. And then we had another one at another coffee house, about 10 of us. And then, July 29th, all across the country, there was a live stream event where Bernie, much like the debate, he had events going on all over. And between our group, we had maybe five of those go on separately. And, that's what really got us up and running. And
well, one of the things we wanted to talk about, and we didn't start yet, was the student loans.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
now, what's the remedy?
Well, the remedy that that Bernie wants and I support is to have public colleges and universities tuition free. Basically,
but that's a future.
That's a future. Yeah.
Now, what about the loans that exist?
The loans that exist, I mean, instead of refinancing them at 6%, 7%, 8%, if you're even allowed to refinance, some student loans you can't combine, consolidate, and refinance, which is a whole nother issue. But Bernie's proposing to let you refinance the student loans at 2% or 3%. Right now it's worked into the federal budget, where they're making billions of dollars on the backs of students off the interest, and they count that in the budget, that they're going to get that income and revenue, which I believe is
immoral,
is wrong. It's
point.
Immoral. Yeah, you're supposed to be making an investment in your citizens, who are your future workforce, if we're supposed to compete in this global economy.
One of the things I've always said about democracy is if you don't have an educated workforce, you don't have a democracy.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's to that point. I mean, if you look at any of these, dictatorships, a lot of times the first thing they do is get rid of all the educated people and shut down all educational institutions, because it's easier to impose your will over an uneducated people.
And you drive them out. You drive them out of the country. You drive them out of the realm, so to speak. And then you have a intimidated, compliant citizens. And we're getting that way. We're getting less and less courageous in our way we speak up and talk back to the powers that be. I had my last interview was with an investigative reporter, and I told him that someone remarked that I had a lot of nerve talking up to people in public places, like at forums and things like that. And I said, you know what? This is America.
Yeah, that's what we need more of, actually. And if you look back, a lot of the rights, a lot of the things that we enjoy now, I mean, they're eroding away, but a lot of them
got us to where we
we earned through standing up and saying, hey, this isn't right, this needs to change. By, you know, Bernie's calling for that political revolution with people out, you know, demanding change, and that's what happened 100 years ago with the labor movement, with the women's suffrage movement, with, you know, with all these civil rights.
By the way,
civil
suppression
rights.
Of labor is so intense right now, and it's so counterproductive. We need people who can earn a decent living, because it's almost amazingly simple that the people who call themselves capitalists don't understand. You need a consuming public to have an operating capitalism.
That's it. I mean, and
if you don't have the money in their pockets, there's no consumption.
And that's who are the real job creators, you know, is the consumers, is the people who, you know, they make their wage, they put most of it back into the economy.
And if you give a guy credit for, say, opening up a retail store and he pays minimum wage for creating jobs, he didn't really create jobs. He created something for people to do during the day.
Yeah.
And not to something that's going to create a new economy.
Absolutely.
And I just got on my soapbox.
Believe me, I'm with you. I mean, we've seen, we came down from a high. I think it used to be around 37% of the private sector workforce was in unions. Now it's down around 6%.
By the way, I don't know if you know this, but I used to be, when I was a young guy, I was a union, elected official in a union. So I, as a result of that position, I studied labor law and history of labor. So I'm very familiar what happened to this country and how it happened.
Yeah.
And it's like when you're reading it, you get a little bit angry, but you can't.
Yeah.
What you got to say is, okay, now I know how it all happened, and now I want to make it happen some more.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if we can, you know, people glibly talk about how the unions are ruining this country. They have no idea what they're talking about. They go to a job where they work 40 hours a week. They have a paid vacation. They have health benefits because of unions created that. Now the companies are afraid to get rid of it because they'll get a union.
Absolutely.
So, you know, they're benefiting by the fruits of the laboring class without having any recognition that they got there, not because business was wonderful and generous.
Yeah.
As soon as they can break them down, they'll get rid of the benefits.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not that the free market came along and said, hey, you know, it'd be
great
to do
idea.
This. No, people really have to stand
but
up and fight for those.
Enlightened
labor
employees
rights.
Already know that it's better for them.
Yeah.
I will tell you, the German companies, the first thing they do is like, well, who's your representation on unions?
Yeah, and you know, one thing that's great in the German economy, they have very strong labor leadership in their unions. They have.
Do you know that they have union leaders on the board of directors of these companies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have only.
So why isn't the company destroyed because of that?
Yeah. They have lots of co-ops. That's something you really don't see too much here in America, is worker-owned co-ops.
Mm-hmm.
They have great labor protections, some things that, you know, you look at here and you say, why couldn't we have that?
Yeah.
And it just really boggles the mind.
And you know, here's where I differ maybe with, say, Bernie on minimum wage.
Yeah.
I don't believe in minimum wage. I believe in unions. The reason is I don't want the government to tell the people this is what you can earn. I want the union's boss to sit down at the table and say, this is what we must have.
Yeah. Unfortunately, though, not everyone belongs to a union. So, you know.
In the meantime,
we
might be a good idea.
Yeah, we do need to get that, put out there, because right now it's a starvation wage. I mean, most people that are receiving government assistance are working in these low-wage jobs.
Which means that we're paying the bills as taxpayers.
Yeah, and we're subsidizing the employer because they're not paying them enough. So we have to make up the difference.
So if they can't satisfy their workforce, we have to.
Yeah.
In the meantime. So I wish you guys a lot of luck. I think whatever happens, you'll either make the party better or you'll get somebody in there that will do it themselves.
Yeah, thank
you. This is Ernie Fazio. I'm talking to Joe Tronolone, and he is with the Bernie Sanders campaign as a volunteer. We're on LI News Radio 103.9. Thanks for listening.